the job to be attending. And there I was, having figured I could find someone to replace me, and I ended up having to perform the apnea testing, as we usually do it, and I ended up doing this connection. Now again, whether I was right or was wrong is a halakhic question, but it's not always the janitor that does it.
Are there any further questions? Rabbi Canarek?
One of the doctors mentioned that if it would be a suffix, then perhaps based on the person's situation, perhaps you would not be able to disconnect the Trinova machine, but rather you would not continue supplementing. How long does that take? In other words, what do you have to do to the machine? Do you have to add things every hour, every day? In other words, if you're not going to add something, you can just leave it going.
Nothing has to be done to the machine.
So the intravenous generally is they usually take you back one bottle in while the other one has not finished yet.
Well, then you don't know what is that you can do?
Well, then that would go to what Rav Kendall was alluding to, namely withholding food. And that's the question of whether or not one can withhold food on a patient. There have been days expressed that withholding food is not really within the purview of medicine, and one really doesn't have the right to withhold food from anyone, be they dying or not dying. Pulling the plug in if the patient is dead, then you are really not doing anything but ventilating a cholo. If you're talking about a live person, this is what you have to define. If the person is alive or is a ghost, then withholding that food may be an act of ritzicha. If the person is dead, then there is no advantage in withholding food. If there's no advantage in withholding the food.
No, you don't want to pull the plug. The doctors feel nervous that they don't want to kill the patient. They just don't give them any more intravenous. They don't die naturally.
That's not the way it works for Matthias. That's not the way it works for Matthias.
No, it doesn't work. Even if you would get home, it wouldn't still. It would eventually days of pain.
Let me ask that question. What you're asking is, will the patient die of dehydration? It'll take about the same length of time as will them to die, even when they maintain that the brain dead. It'll take 3-4 days. It's not a solution to a problem. So really, now, a lot of we spoke before, now these people are asking questions. I'm there as a patient. I can't leave a patient and say, tell the nurse, okay, don't give any more. They call me back in 4 days. We'll see how I'll find the death certificate. It's not like we're in a hospital. That's what the two doctors here and I'm sure Dr. Lipson as well realize that they do need answers. And you can't answer one of our Talmidim who studied with us for years in the yeshiva, who's now a doctor, tell them, well, it's a suffix. So I don't know what to do. Halacha never leaves the table, which everybody here knows. There's never a suffix in halacha. When after all the statements are done, someone says the buck stops here and you have to give a start, you have to do something. Either say the halacha is because it's something high, then the halacha is about that high, you can't do anything about it, just too bad, you have to carry him this way. Or you convince that your approach is right and you have the strength of your conviction and say, yes, this fellow is dead. This is the key issue from the halachic point of view. From the medical point of view, I must say from my fairly extensive reading in the field, the decisions are going to be made, unfortunately, on a triage basis. With the economy of the country not getting much better, the cost of maintaining a patient for a day on a respirator is not insignificant. When you add up the number of patients on respirators, it's really a massive amount of money, and there will be legislation that has been passed in most states, and the insurance companies will not pay, and then all kinds of homeless will have to be expressed in one way only. A British soil will have to open up intensive care units where you move patients who are brain dead according to the halakha until they become brain dead according to a British soil.
I just wanted to comment that, you know, if a patient is dead, then not giving them intravenous feedings and so forth is a very disrespectful way to treat a dead body and a very disrespectful way to treat a family. and ultimately a solution that only prolongs pain. And, well, you know, let me be clear about my personal view about the grand death standard. It's easy to determine if somebody meets criteria for brain death. There's a checklist, and any well-trained, competent physician who carefully applies those criteria can make an unequivocal determination that this person meets the criteria for brain death. And it's clear in New York State and in most states that that is the same as the secular definition of death. So I personally feel no conflict making brain death determinations, and I personally feel no conflict turning off ventilators. What the halakhic definition of death is another question altogether. But the criteria for brain death are very explicit and easily applied, and you know, Dr. Kielsen's conflict, I think, is a religious conflict and not a medical one. And he's in a, you know, I'm in an easier position than he is, in a sense, because my views are framed from the perspective of a neurologist and not informed by a religious perspective.
However, I have to comment to that. Medicine has traditionally been agnostic, amoral, and anti-religious in the past. And we have to be sensitive, I think, to many, many religious considerations. I don't think that the feeling among religious physicians that they may possibly be involved in killing of a patient, despite the medical definition of death, can be ignored. I don't think it can be ignored in terms of the populace nor among the rabbinic community as well.
I don't propose to ignore it. I think those views need to be taken into account. I don't think physicians should be forced to behave in a way that's uncomfortable for them. No, that isn't my view at all.
Thank you. Are there any other further questions or comments? Is either Rabbi Tendler or Michelle would like to conclude, or shall I conclude? All right, I'd like to give you some further information. If you found this interesting,
I want to pull a plug.
You want to pull a plug? That's what everybody will pull. For those who are interested, if you're not aware of it, there happens to be a very major AOJS conference this Sunday and Monday. I think this topic will be discussed again at length by other speakers, among many others. And I'm sure if you're interested and you can afford the price, check with the AOJS at the Fifth Avenue Synagogue this Sunday and Monday. The program really looks to be very interesting for those who are interested. Next year, stay tuned for another Yom Miyun on another topic. Thank you.